We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
.241, 19 minutes down in front of 3. Steve in on a Saturday until 5 o'clock. We got a St. Thomas throwback football game. At 5 o'clock, we got some great guests lined up for you. We'll preview Golden Gopher football against Michigan coming up following the news and weather at 3 with Andy Greeter of the Pioneer Press. But right now, we're going to talk space flight. And from the website Space Flight Now, Stephen Clark, good enough to join us. And Stephen, good to visit with you. It's been a while.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, a lot going on. Let's start with that spacecraft that landed on an asteroid. Grab some samples, and we'll ultimately return to Earth. This is incredible.
Yeah, it's like a scene out of science fiction. I know that's a cliche, but you know, you think back to Armageddon and Deep Impact and all the sci-fi movies of lore. And yeah, NASA has sent a spacecraft to an asteroid named Bennu, named for an Egyptian deity in Egyptian mythology. And it has sort of done a smash and grab with this asteroid. It did a slow touch and go maneuver on Wednesday with or Tuesday rather with asteroid Bennu, and grabbed up a lot more sample than they were expecting. And they're going to bring this sample back to Earth. This is a robotic spacecraft, comes back to Earth in 2023, and scientists are sort of salivating to get their hands on this sample because it's. It'll be the largest sample that's been brought back to Earth from another planetary body since the Apollo program 50 years ago. So they're going to analyze these samples and see what they can find out about the history of the solar system.
And, Stephen, this is really cool on a couple of levels. Number one, they grab the samples, they'll return those to the Earth and understand the origins of the solar system and the material that orbits the sun in our solar system. So there's that part of it. But it also demonstrates the technology of ultimately being able to identify potential near-Earth objects and chart their path, and if at some point in the future could send these spacecraft out and gently guide them away from a potential impact from Earth. And that goes back to the science fiction films you alluded to.
You're exactly right. And you know, there are a million asteroids that NASA has detected and other space agencies have detected throughout the solar system. Most of them pose zero, absolutely zero threat to Earth. There are a few, a handful that do, and Bennu is one of them. We're not talking about a high risk here. You know, the chances of an asteroid hitting Earth in any year or even any century and causing significant damage is very, very small. But over time, it's inevitable. And Bennu is one of these objects that NASA and other astronomers are tracking that could pose an impact threat with Earth. There's a 1 in 2,700 chance, which is, again, very small, that Bennu could impact Earth sometime in the 2100s. NASA is using this mission to study the effects and the influences that change asteroid orbits over time. And things like solar pressure from sunlight, photons from the sun hitting the asteroid, things like thermal effects, like outgassing from the asteroid that over decades and centuries and millennia can change an asteroid's orbit and change the risk that a specific asteroid could pose to Earth. So they're tracking that with this mission, studying those effects of the asteroid's orbit to get a better handle on how to refine these predictions going forward. A
couple other stories we want to get your thoughts on. Soyuz brought three astronauts, or astronauts, cosmonauts, back to Earth. And I always get a kick out of how they operate. Every one of these landings always piques my interest, because they just kind of land out in the desert, if you will. It's kind of like a desert in Kazakhstan. And then they kind of gather around, and they set the astronauts down in what looked to be like some sort of Soviet lazy boy. It's just such a weird scene as they bring their space sparers back to Earth.
It is fascinating, and one of the things I like most about covering space flight is seeing how different cultures and different countries with their own histories and traditions handle, space activities, handle operating the space station, handle launching rockets, and how returning the crews from space, and how to greet them. And so these three guys were up on the space station for over 6 months, 196 days, and they returned to Earth this week in the Russian Soyuz capsule, landed on the desert, the plains of Kazakhstan. The Russian ground crew was right there to greet them. And they put these the crew members into these little couches, because they've been in space for over 6 months, 196 days. And over that period of time, there's concern that their muscles or bones could have atrophied from lack of gravity, frankly. And if you watch the video, you may have seen at the very end, they actually carry the cosmonauts and astronauts off the area into a helicopter while they're in their couches, looking like a wedding procession going into the medical
right.
for medical inspections.
Yeah, and I, my best description is a Soviet style lazy boy, if you will. I just got a kick out of it, but the safe return and. The shots of the capsule itself, the Soyuz is not a big capsule. It is a tight fit for the cosmonauts, astronauts to come back. It's not relatively roomy and modern like, say, we saw with Crew Dragon.
No, not at all. And it's literally elbow to elbow. If you look at pictures of the crew and crammed inside the capsule, it's about... it's no more than about 8 or 10 feet in diameter, and they have three people crammed in there. Thankfully, they don't have to spend a lot of time in there. The Crew Dragon took a little bit of a longer route to the space station over almost a day, and the Soyuz they time their launches and landings very, very specifically to be able to get to the space station and come home within a few hours, 3 to 4 hours usually. And so they don't have to spend a lot of time in there, but the time in there is very cramped.
Stephen, before we run out of time here, we want to get an update on the next Crew Dragon flight. There has been a delay. They were concerned about some anomalies on the Falcon 9 rocket that will boost this Crew Dragon, and this time 4 astronauts to the International Space Station. Tell us about where that stands and where we are, and could we see a launch in November?
I think there's a decent shot of a launch in November, maybe in the mid-November timeframe is what NASA and SpaceX, what the officials are saying right now. Yeah, the launch was set for Halloween next weekend, October 31st, but there was a launch attempt a few weeks ago at Cape Canaveral with a GPS satellite that had to be aborted at T-minus 2 seconds, kind of a dramatic last-second abort of the launch, because they detected some unusual data in the engine during the ignition sequence, in one of the engines during the ignition sequence. So they stood down from that mission. They're taking their time to study the problem, and in fact, they're replacing one of the engines on the Falcon 9 rocket for this crew launch, because some of the data from that engine during testing showed it might show a similar problem in the ignition sequence that they saw during the attempt of the GPS mission a couple of weeks ago. So they're replacing an engine. They're still doing some analysis to find the root cause of it to make sure it doesn't affect any of the other engines. But from what I understand, they're getting close to the conclusion of that investigation, just doing their due diligence. And hopefully in the next few days, we may hear a launch date confirmed, but mid-November is what I'm hearing.
All right. Any other big things coming up in the next few weeks or month that we should keep an eye on?
Yeah, yeah. One thing that's been occupying a lot of my time of late is covering SpaceX deploying their Starlink satellites. And there was just a launch this morning from Cape Canaveral with 60 more of these satellites. And SpaceX has launched nearly 900 satellites. These satellites are designed to provide internet service on a worldwide basis for consumers that don't have a terrestrial connection, don't have a fiber or landline to connect to the internet. So think of a lot of rural users, a lot of people on ships, on airplanes could use this capability. And they've launched 900 satellites over the last year and almost 200 just since the start of October on three different launches. And it's a very impressive scale up as they deploy these satellites. It could eventually be at least 4,500, could eventually be over 42,000 of these satellites. And SpaceX is already operating more satellites than any other company in the world, and they're not showing any signs of slowing up.
Wow. That could be a big change in the internet access business, not only here in the United States, but around the world. And then real quick, Stephen, it looks like SpaceX and their Starship, their gigantic Starship, they're doing testing down in Texas. We may get this time a really big show out of Starship at some point in the near future.
Yes, yes. They're getting close to launching one of these big Starship rockets to about 50,000 feet, potentially in November sometime, if everything goes well during the testing. And, you know, we've been waiting for this test for about a year now, since Elon Musk, the founder of SpaceX, did a big unveiling of this next-generation rocket, which will be more powerful than the Saturn V moon rocket that was used during the Apollo program. So it'll be the most powerful rocket ever built. And one of the initial tests will be to fly it up to 50,000 feet and see how it performs in the atmosphere with multiple engines firing underneath it, and then try to return it back to Earth and land it, because they want the rocket to be reusable. So this is a massive undertaking. This is SpaceX's top priority right now after launching the astronauts to the space station earlier this year. And we're on the verge of a major test if everything goes well.
Well, Stephen, hopefully we can visit with you again. Thanks.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right, Stephen Clark, spaceflightnow.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.